Welcome back to His Time. I'm your host, Andy Bates. It is Wednesday, January 7th, 7:35 Central Time. Joining us by phone this morning, Dr. Jack Fiennes, clinical psychologist. Good morning, Dr. Fiennes.
Good morning. Are you the frozen chosen guy?
It is pretty cold here. Yeah, it's pretty chilly. How about you?
Well, yeah, it's. I think the temperature said, my thermometer right here says, forget about it, is what it says. Just don't do it.
Don't bother.
I think it's like minus 12 wind chill, which is a little cold here. All schools are closed, and I think some of the state operating facilities are closed, too. So it's pretty cold up here. It's, you know, the Arctic mass is a little gift from Santa Claus, you know, post-holiday Santa Claus gift, a little cold.
Yeah, it's 12... right now, but wind chill is 6 below here in St. Louis, so yeah, it's a little cold.
I don't think the Cardinals are playing today.
No, not today. Well, now that Advent, Christmas, New Year's are all over, we're now in the season of Epiphany, but all the major festivities are winding down. Some of us might encounter some post-holiday blues. Do you ever talk about that much?
Oh, I run into it all the time. It's we get ourselves all pretty far up for the holidays. You know, we're all excited about the festivities. You know, you get the tree up, you're going to church, you're going to Advent, all the kids or grandkids specials, the various foods and various, all the buying gifts and the music and everything. And then all of a sudden, it's just sort of gone, you know. You take the tree down, there's no more services, kids are no longer memorizing. Grandma and Aunt Edna are gone because they're not visiting. They've already been there. And then you basically have this giant void after probably, well, you know, let's say it starts around Thanksgiving with the old Macy's parade, a little before that. They had Advent. And like I said, yesterday was Epiphany. But now it's pretty well done. And so, yes, we get it's a lot of bundled energy, and then there's nothing there anymore, you know. And it's people get, I would say, frazzled a little bit because they've got to become accustomed to almost 8 weeks. I would say about 8 weeks. 8 weeks of activities, plans, thoughts, traditions, menus, church services, and then there's nothing there. So obviously, if it was like 80 degrees outside or something like that, maybe they'd find a golf game to occupy themselves with, or maybe they'd find themselves a drive to around town to do. But what happens is in this kind of weather, like you're talking about, people are sort of stuck inside, kids go back to school, and it's pretty frustrating, very frustrating.
We get cabin fever after a while. I don't think we've gotten to that point yet, but probably by, February, early March, we might be feeling some cabin fever and need to get out, right?
Well, that usually hits. It's sort of interesting. This is obviously beginning of January. It's usually about February 5th or February 6th we start hearing that. Because, you see, the sun is really still sort of down. I mean, it's still getting a little lighter in February. But there's a cabin fever comes to doors. You know, you really can't get out, and there's really no holiday. I mean, there's, I guess, Martin Luther King's birthday coming up, and then there's Valentine's Day. And Valentine's Day is a little bit of a upward thing, but you really, honestly, there's not much between now and the 1st of March. And so the human goes to a situation that for almost 8 weeks, we're in a really celebrative mood, a really energized mood, a direct mood for Christmas. And then all of a sudden you got 8 weeks of nothing, you know. So this is the time. This is the time where we get a lot of people very depressed, very anxious, looking for something new. And, I mean, they take the tree down and all of a sudden life is plain. And so there's about four to 6 weeks right now where you can get people very, very aggravated, very, very anxious, yes.
So how do we cope with that? How do we cope with that that anxiety or the post-holiday blues? Any tips for us?
Well, guess what? There's absolutely, and this is what I tell people all the time, and that's sort of why I like my Greek friends, because the Greek Orthodox, actually the Greek Orthodox Epiphany according to the Julian calendar, doesn't start till July 19th. And they start then the July 6th, January 9th, January 6th is when you normally celebrate, but some of them don't Bonduca 19th. But those people keep celebrating always in January. I like it all to be Greeks, you know. And what I tell people to do is you don't have to be Greek to celebrate Christmas all the way through January and all the way through February. Keep the Advent stuff out. Keep the Bible out. Keep, you know, some people do Advent service at home. We traditionally keep a lot of those books and things out and start reading the stories. If you had a devotional time through December and part of Thanksgiving, you can keep the same things out. The Bible doesn't go to bed by the time when Epiphany is over, but you can, you know, get some directed readings. There's all kinds of different guides to read passages every day. You can still sing, you know, Christmas songs, and you know, I mean, even though it's not necessarily the Christmas season anymore, you can still keep playing that at your house and in your mind all the time between now and, let's say, 1st of March. Secondly, make sure you still attend. A lot of people stop attending church, you know, after the Christmas season, you know, they wait till Easter again or something. Get back involved in your church. Start going around. If you did visit your relatives over the Christmas season, go visit them again. I mean, there's no reason to change any habit whatsoever. The only thing you really don't do too much is to give gifts, but you can still visit relatives, go take care of the sick, go to visit people that are homebound. I mean, do all the habits you did during the Christmas season, and just keep it going. You know, don't change anything. The Bible doesn't just operate 6 weeks a year. There's tons of passages to read, tons of things to get into, and keep your devotional life going, keep your active life going with the people that are invalids or people that are homebound. Visit the people that are your relatives, and keep that smiley disposition, because this is the time. I mean, Christ just didn't show up at Christmas, and then all of a sudden fly off the earth and wait till Easter. He was here the entire time. Get into Luke, get into Acts, get into some of John, get into the Bible and read what was going on, you know, across his ministry, his baptism, his transfiguration. There's tons of things going on, the visit of the temple, circumcision. We read those things and keep everything going. There's no reason to shut any of that down.
So what I hear you saying is that the incarnation that we celebrate, the incarnation of Christ, God made man, that we celebrate at Christmas, is the same incarnation that we celebrate throughout the whole year. It's not just for Christmas that we celebrate the incarnated God here in the flesh throughout the whole year.
That is correct. It's sort of like we as in Western civilization or whatever, we sort of get all prepared for Jesus Christ to show up, and he does, and then all of a sudden we just sort of put everything in a box, put up in the attic, and then we wait till next year. And that's right, the incarnation is, I'm not going to try to get too scholarly here, but the Greek is like the Greek imperfect tense. It started at one time in history and never ends. And I mean, so what happens is that he arrived. He arrived in a certain time in history, but once he arrived, he never left. That's all. I mean, there's plenty of things to get into. I mean, I have some people, like, in fact, I just taught a course at Our Savior's here called The Fullness of Time, and I borrowed graciously from some of the stuff that Paul Meyer's written. There's tons of other material out there. But, you know, you've got all kinds of, you've got everything that you have, obviously, the first Christmas material, then you got the first Easter material, you got the first Christians material. You've got enough to read there and study and get into the background and what Jesus was actually doing during his ministry on earth. To quote a non-Lutheran, Charles Swindoll's got a book on the I Am statements of Jesus where he talks about who he is and what he is in your life. There's tons of devotional material out there and reading material you can get into to don't just stop with the incarnation. The word I tell people is to start with the incarnation. Start with the incarnation and find out who this guy actually is in your worship. Who is this guy that eventually walks around earth forgiving sins? And that's, you know, it's not just the baby in the Bethlehem that's important, which is great, and not just the Magi, which is important, which is great, but the next step is, what does this mean? I guess that's a famous Lutheran phrase. What this means is, what does this do to your life? And then every day, take a look at some different aspects of the New Testament, different aspects of what he did, and see what he's saying to people. What does that mean to you?
We are talking with Dr. Jack Fiennes, clinical psychologist. We need to take a quick break. When we come back from that break, we'll get some more tips from Dr. Fiennes. Stick around for more of his time right after this break, right here on Listener Supported Worldwide, KFUO, the messenger of good news.
This is the newly born radio station, KFUO.
Those were the first words spoken on KFUO. But before those words could even be broadcast, it took a group of volunteers and supporters to cover the cost of constructing our very first radio facility.
On this occasion, we also wish to express our hearty thanks to all Christians who have given or pledged their contributions toward the erection and upkeep of this station.
Since those historic words, KFUO has relied on supporters to bring us through our first 90 years. And KFUO continues to need your support to move forward into our next. Will you prayerfully consider supporting the worldwide outreach of KFUO with a gift today? For a suggested gift of $90 or more, we'll say thank you with a collector's edition 90th anniversary I Lutheran t-shirt. To give your gift, contact Joni or Mary at 314-996-1512. Thank you for your continued support and prayers for worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news. Messiah Lutheran Church in Danville, California is pleased to be the Church of the Week for Worldwide KFUO. If you reside in or will be visiting the San Francisco Bay Area and are looking for a confessional liturgical Lutheran church, they invite you to join them each Sunday morning. Sunday school begins at 8:30 a.m. and adult Bible class at 8:45. The divine service offering the gifts of Christ meets at 10. You can find additional information at messiahlutheranchurchdanville.com.
Across the globe, thousands of children flee violence alone. Lutheran Immigration and Refugee Service believes the best way to ensure they are safe and equipped for a brighter tomorrow is to place them with a foster family. Foster families come from diverse backgrounds, are single or married. The love and support they provide changes their lives and their children's lives. Please prayerfully consider giving the gift of family to an immigrant child. LIRS.org/fostercare to learn more.
Welcome back to His Time. I'm your host, Andy Bates. Wednesday, January 7th, 7:48 Central Time. It is a chilly day here in St. Louis, and we are talking about how to warm up with Dr. Jack Fiennes. We've got some ideas of how to keep the year warm and bright now that the holidays are over. And some of us with New Year's might have, well, I don't know if it's wise or not, but might have made some New Year's resolutions. What are your thoughts on New Year's resolutions? If I made five of them, I've probably already broken three.
I think they're ridiculous, okay? I think it's a habit we do to sort of, honestly, New Year's resolutions come directly from our own sense of self and our own sense of guilt, the two worst sources you can possibly have in human life. First of all, guilt. Because, you know, obviously we ate too much, or obviously we drank too much, or obviously we didn't pay our bills, or obviously we did whatever we think we haven't been doing, we then all of a sudden the 1st of January say, I dedicate myself to do this differently, you know, stop smoking, stop eating so much, whatever, or start exercising, you know, et cetera, and it all comes from a huge sense of guilt. And I'm not sure, but if you look at the New Testament and the Old Testament, I have yet to see a passage anywhere where God says, please be guilty, it makes me feel good, okay? So, I mean, that's number one. Number two, New Year's resolutions. They're all about self, okay? I have yet to see people have New Year's resolutions that are beyond their food, beyond their exercise, beyond, you know, sleep at night, beyond taking care of things around the house better. And so you have the two major sources of New Year's resolutions are saving yourself from guilt and basically focusing on yourself. I think New Year's resolutions are great as long as they don't come from either one of those two sources. And that's a totally opposite way most of us think. And what I suggest people do is look around themselves, look around their community, look around their family, look around the world, and try to come up with something that's a resolution to help other people. If you notice, if you say the holidays are over, you said that a few minutes of the holidays are over, in actual point of fact, the holidays have just begun. Holiday The word itself comes from set aside days, holy days, days where you dedicate yourself to something beyond yourself. So the word holy comes from. And what I think you do is you say, okay, the holidays have just begun. Again, I said they didn't end, they just started. So now look beyond yourself. Who can I help in my community? What resolution can I make? New Year's resolution that I can make somebody else's life happier. If I've got a person from my family that's homebound or in assisted living, how much more often can I go see them? If I have a child in my family or a grandchild that's having trouble with something, with either reading or behavior or whatever, what can I do to help that person? If I've got people who are homeless or having problems with foods, what can I do to increase and help their life? If it's indeed true, which it is, that Jesus Christ became incarnated, arrived on earth on Christmas, and then went about helping people, what is it we can do in terms of a New Year's resolution to help others ourselves? Get beyond yourself. Because what happens, if it's what I said was true a few minutes ago, that the New Year's resolutions are all based on your own guilt and your own self, that's why, as you said a few minutes ago, we give up on them because of these five things I decided to do. We can't as selves produce them and produce great improvements in ourselves and in our lives. So we end up being frustrated and we stop them. You know, we start smoking a little more, we start eating a little more, we start, you know, doing all the opposite things that we said. And if you focus on other people, there's like 330 million Americans out there, and you've got tons of things you can do to help others, see others, take care of others, feed others, work with others, and make it a pleasurable life for somebody else. Get beyond yourself. Make your New Year's resolution. Don't try to make yourself better. Improve other people's lives. And that can be as simple as going to a school and reading books to students about life, about God, about something. Going to church a little more. Maybe finding a neighbor that's having some help. You know, needs some help shoveling snow or whatever, the ice that's out there. Doing some stuff beyond yourself. That's the appropriate New Year's resolution. Because if you notice, let's combine both these topics. What happened at the incarnation? What did it say in Colossians and Philippians? God got beyond himself. He devoided himself. Jesus devoided himself of where he was, up in the glorious heaven, and came down in a manger to be here with us. And his New Year's resolution was not to be the great almighty God. His New Year's resolution was to save us. And so we got to make the same New Year's resolution. Let's go help and save somebody else, not the way he did, but in his image, go about helping others and not focusing on ourselves. New Year's resolutions, my friend, I know I'm going to sound like a heretic, are one of the worst things we can have because we focus only on us and we focus only on our own guilt, and we need to focus on other people and be happy because we're still celebrating the holidays.
So what you're saying is we can... instead of our New Year's resolutions being about us and improving ourselves, we can focus on caring for our neighbor, being neighborly, being God's agent of mercy and love to our neighbor.
Exactly. Remember when John the Baptist got himself stuck in Herod's prison, okay? And he got a little nervous there, and he sent his disciples out, his followers, to find out about Jesus. And finally, are you the guy that's to come? What was Jesus' response to him? I'm going about healing the lame, healing the blind, helping the broken spirits, and forgiving sins. What do you, therefore that I'm doing what the Messiah is supposed to be doing. How many of us can say, based on our New Year's resolution, I'm taking care of the sick, I'm taking care of the lonely, taking care of the lame, taking care of those people that have problems, talking to them about the forgiveness of sin of Jesus? How many of us can respond the same way he did? Now, of course, we're not Jesus, but we're supposed to follow his example. And I think that if you want to make a New Year's resolution, don't talk about smoking and don't talk about eating and don't talk about, spending more time in the exercise room and all that kind of stuff. Really? Seriously? I mean, so what? So much, I guess you lose weight and you eat better, But what's more important, those kind of resolutions, or going across to a neighbor that you've had maybe some fights with this past summer or with some whatever, a dog ran in your yard one time, and you say, I want to tell you I forgive you for what you, we had some arguments. Sorry about what happened with my dog or your dog, or going to somebody who's definitely lonely in their life, their kids or grandkids are gone, and try to make a friend with them. Maybe taking some Dunkin' Donuts, don't worry about eating them, but taking the Dunkin' Donuts to somebody that's lonely in a nursing home and saying hello. Or ask the pastor, There's pastors have tons of people, and most of the time in churches they can't get to because of their schedule. See if you can do some work with them, work with other people in your church that don't get regular visits. Do something beyond yourself. Make your New Year's resolution to get out of your own selfhood. Make your New Year's resolution to don't focus on what you missed in your life. Focus on what's missing in everybody else's life and take care of that.
So make your New Year's resolution not to make New Year's resolutions.
I think the New Year's resolution is to become have a new life in Christ, and then in that new life do some new things to help people, to help others. And I think that's, you know, there's that phrase, that word that's always in the New Testament called koinonia, which is fellowship. What are you doing to help the fellowship? What part of the fellowship are you? I mean, we're supposed to be sort of like a giant Afghan quilt all woven together with each other to try to help each other. What have you done in the new year? What are you doing to bring people together and to bring other people to Christ? And if you've been, you know, it could be minimal, you know, that very famous passage in Matthew, I think it is, where, you know, what have you done to the least of my brethren? You know, whether it's food or caring or cloth or loving other people. The more you've done it to others, the more you've done it to Jesus. And you're not doing this based on guilt because you have to do it. You're doing it because you want to do it. And, you know, I think it's sort of funny. During the Christmas season, we all get wound up about having live nativity scenes at church. We get all wound up about caroling or going to sing songs to people in nursing homes and all kinds of these activities, you know. Foods, inviting people over for special foods in our house or whatever. And then all of a sudden, it ends, okay? Well, why does it have to end? Again, it's like the Greek imperfect tense. It starts, it should never end. Keep going in January and February. If you really do have about 4 to 6 weeks of cold, bitter weather coming, which we do have until now March, get out of that weather. You know, you can still go to nursing homes and sing songs to people. You can still take foodstuffs to people. You can still do things, not necessarily with maybe a Christmas tree. You know, although I do know a friend of mine who's a Lutheran teacher who one time decided to leave his Christmas tree up till April, and it was unfortunately a real tree, so he got real pine cone needles all over the house. But I wouldn't do that. But I mean, I think that what I would do is, you know, you don't have to have the decorations up, but you can have the Spirit of God up and have that Spirit of God go to the neighborhood, go to your church, go to your friends, go to your family, go to your neighbors, and really show that. Remember, what did we just say this yesterday was?
Epiphany.
And what happens on Epiphany? The light is shown, okay? The star is there. How many people listening today are going to be their own Epiphany star in front of their neighborhood? Going to be their own Epiphany star in their family, their own Epiphany star in their church community, their own Epiphany star to the neighbor and their family and the kids. And that, you know, that star doesn't, you know, you don't hide that under a bush or under, you know, hide it away from people. You get it out in front of people. And that's what's important.
Well, thank you, Dr. Fiennes. Always good to check in with you. Always good to hear from you. God's blessings, and we'll talk again in the near future.
Well, God's blessings you. Remember, the holidays have started, but they never end. Make your life a witness to the person who came in that manger, who's right now out there wanting you to save souls.
Thanks so much, Dr. Fiennes. God's blessings.
God's blessings, everyone.